This week's parashat says, "Kechoil asher ani mare oischa," like I show you, "es tavnis hamishkan ve'es tavnis kol kelav v'chein tasu." HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, I will show you how you're supposed to make the Mishkan. The question is, grammatically, it should be written, "Kechoil asher ani mare lecha," all that I show to you. What does it mean, "Kechoil asher ani mare oischa"? So I heard pshat once from Rabbi Breslauer. He said, pshat is, the pasuk before says, "Va'osu l'mikdash," a few pasukim earlier, we're told there's a mitzvah to build the Mishkan. "Va'osu l'mikdash, v'shochanti b'soichem." Chazal tell us that it doesn't just refer to Beis HaMikdash, it's also referring to every person. B'soicholoi ne'emar, it doesn't say, "I will dwell in it." B'soichem, every person in Klal Yisrael has to create a Mikdash, and Hashem will dwell in it. It's going on people. If you learn Pshat that it's going on people, then how do you understand the next pasuk? K'choyel Hashem Ra'ischa, like I'll show you. How is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to show Moshe that people have to be like a Mishkan? And the answer is that when you have people, Talmid Chacham, you have people of Gedolim, that is the way you have to make yourself a Kaddish. You have role models. K'choyel Asheni Mara Ischa, I will show you. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, will be the role model of Klal Yisrael. You'll be the dogma, and from you they'll be able to learn how to be a kayim. V'osu li mikdash v'shachanti b'soichem. Another pshat I once heard from Rav Breslauer is in the pasuk of the Oren. It says, "V'yotzak doloi arba tabozov." You make four rings of gold. "V'nosata," and you put them al arba pamoisov, on the four. What's pamoisov? Rashi says, Zavyase, corners, Zavyas. On the corners you put them. Ibn Ezra doesn't like this pshat. And he writes, Chepasti b'chala mikro. I look through all the psukim. V'loi matzosi pam shu Zavyas. I never found the word corners is called pamoisov, is corners. Nowhere does it say it. So what does the word pamoisov mean? He argues with Rashi. Even though in elementary school you always learned that pamoisov means corners, the Ibn Ezra doesn't learn like that. He says the word pamoisov, you see, is a lashon of mayofu pamayich. It's a lashon of feet. On the 4 feet is where you put the rings. There were feet on the Oren. Not like the picture books you've seen. What's the pshat, though? There were feet on the Oren. Why is it, of all the kelim, the Oren would have feet? So Rav Breslauer gave a beautiful pshat. He said that the Navi tells us that melochim have 6 wings. Sheish kanafayim le'echot. Each one has 6 wings. B'shtayim yechaseponov. 2, they cover their face. Shtayim yo'oifev. 2, they fly. B'shtayim yechaseraglov. 2, they cover their feet. We understand why they cover their face. Because of the glory of the Rabbeinu Shalom. The light of the Rabbeinu Shalom. They're embarrassed in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So they cover their face, we can understand. 2 to fly with, we can understand. They need 2 wings to fly. But why do they have 2 wings to cover their feet? What do their winged feet have to be covered for? The pshat is that what's the difference between a malach and a human? What's the maila we have over malachim? A malach is an oimid. He stands still. He cannot grow in madregas. A person is a hoilach. He can go. A person can grow in stature. So therefore a malach, they're embarrassed about their feet because their feet, they're not a hoilach. They can't move. They can't do things. They can't grow. A person, we have feet that we're able to grow through our feet. We're a hoilach. So therefore, they cover their feet. The orin is a dogma to us, is a mesamel to us, symbolizes Torah. Since it symbolizes Torah, the tachlis of Torah is to grow greater and greater in Torah. So dafka, the orin has feet to show that we should always be looking for growth in Torah. The Oren, it says that there was gold on the inside and gold on the outside. And Chazal learned from this that its hamachochem has to be toichai kebari, his inside like his outside. Through and through a hamachochem, not a faker at all, not on the surface he looks like a hamachochem, but at home he acts differently. That is how a hamachochem has to be. And the Gemara in Brachos that tells us that says that when Rav Gamliel was the Rosh Yeshiva, he didn't let anybody into the Beis Merish who wasn't Toichei Kebari. And after he was removed from being Rosh Hashiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took over, then he took away the guard, it says, from the Beis Medrash. They let everybody come in. And that day they had to add 400 rows, one man says 700 rows, they had to add to the Beis Medrash, which incidentally, it says rows of benches had to add. Why doesn't it say they added so many Talmidim? Why does it say benches they added? Just say the amount of Talmidim they added. So Velt says over is because that they opened up Beis Medrash, everybody could come in. So they poured in now. But who poured in? Which people poured in? The guys who had benches for them, they weren't always there. They were busy getting a coffee, busy reading the notices outside. So they added many rows to the Beis Medrash. People signed up for the Beis Medrash, but it doesn't mean they were always there. But when Rabbi Gamliel was in charge, they had a shema. And the shema made sure only people toiche kabari could come in. So who was that shema at the door? If people, somebody was a toiche kabari, certainly didn't want to sit by the door checking people's ID, and if your test appears, you want to get in the yeshiva, let me give you a fair. He didn't want to do it, he wanted to sit in Beis Medrash. Somebody who wasn't Toichei Kabari certainly couldn't know if somebody else was. So who was that shamer at the door? So Sadiqei Rebbe said, Pshat is like this. What they did is, they locked the front door, they locked the back door. They just locked the doors, they sat and learned. So imagine over here on a snow day, not a snow day, there's a little bit of snow, and a little bit of snow coming down, and you come to yeshiva, and the door is locked. So some guys, oh, no yeshiva today, and they're back in the car as quick as they can, it's closed. You got other guys, a little more elegant than that, and they go and they check the back door. Oh, back door's also locked, that's for sure then. They leave. And then there's another type of person. The back door's locked, let me check, maybe Darchan Oima's door, let me check this, maybe I can find a window here. I remember many years ago, Sir Bochram came here. Those were the days when the building was just built. And in those days, it would sound strange to you, this building was locked. Every door here was locked at night. So strange, such a thing. You couldn't get in the building. And Sir Bochram came, they wanted to play basketball. Everywhere was locked. But eventually, it didn't take too long. Within a half hour, somebody found a way of getting into the building, even with every door locked. So that is what they did back then. They closed up everything. The people were Toichei Kabari. The real people, they found a way of getting in. And the other people, they went home. But Chazal tell us that afterwards, when Gamliel came to the Beis Medrash, he saw the Beis Medrash was full. People were learning, they're steiging there. And he had Chalishas Adas. It bothered him tremendously. He said, Chas v'shom, I held back Torah from Klal Yisrael. It bothered him about what he had done when he saw what had happened there. How there were so many new Bochrim in the Beis Medrash. And of course, this is very difficult to understand. Because Rav Gamliel sat every day taking applications. And he would check, do they read Harry Potter? And he checked, do they Toichei Kabari? Different things he would look at to know if they're worthy to come into the yeshiva. And he would find out from their application and just throw it in the garbage. And he had a garbage can in his office overflowing with applications. Thousands of applications, but only Toichei Kabari can get in. So now, he's no more a yeshiva. New policy. Everybody can come and learn the yeshiva. Guess what? He walks in the next day, it's full. What's he expecting? Why was he upset? I held back Terman Kleisel. When he threw out the applications, he knew that was what's going to happen. The answer is, what he got a shock was, he saw them learning the Beis Medrash. And he saw these are the people he refused. They're now in the Beis Medrash. And he saw, yeah, they're not Toichei Kabari. But they're going to become Toichei Kabari. Sitting in the Beis Medrash, they sit and learn a little bit. In the end, they'll become what they have to become. The Beis Medrash is the place to make them into Toichei Kabari. That's what he felt bad about. The Pasuk says also, getting back to the Oren again, V'nasata es ha-kapeiros al ha-oren. You place the kapeiros, the cover, on top of the Oren, milmalo. So try and imagine, you've got the Oren, and on top, you place the kapeiros. Vel orin titein eso edus. Inside the orin, you put the luchos. Says Rashi, lo yodati lo menichvel. I don't understand why is he repetitive over here. Sharik v'anemar had already said, v'nasato el ha'orin eso edus. It already said previously, you put the luchos inside. Why does it repeat it again? Says Rashi, v'yesh loimah. Listen to what Rashi answers. Why does he repeat again to put the luchos in? Shebol Lamed is coming to teach us. Sheba Oidai Oren Levadai. When the Oren is alone, Beloi Kapor is without the cover. Yitlan Tchila Eidos. First put in the Luchais. And then put the Kaporis on top. How else would you do it? He's coming to tell you a second time is to first put in the Luchais. And then you put the Kaporis. Well, I would have thought the other way around. First put the Kaporis on. And now put in the Luchais. How do you do that? So what's the Pshat in it? So the Reish Chaim HaKodesh has great difficulty over here and tries different Pshatim. But the Rosh explains a beautiful Pshat. The Rosh says, Pirish, Koidim Nesinus HaKaporis, before you put the Kaporis, put in the Luchais. Why does he need to tell us that? It's Dava Poshatu. So he says, Shereit Saloima, let's say you want to put the cover on to test it, whatever reason. You want to put on the Kaporis. Afterwards, you'll open up and put in the Luchais. No, you can't do that. The only way you're allowed to put the cover on is when the Luchais are inside. Without the Luchais inside, don't put on the Kaporis. It has to be that it can only be on top of the Kaporis if the Luchais are there. For no, even let's if you've got a purpose why, don't put it on. Why is that? Why would the Torah tell you never close up the Orin without the Luchais inside? So the Pshat is that if you would close it without it, you would think there's two Kalim. One called the Orin and one called the Luchais you place inside. It's not like that. There is no Kali called the Orin. The Orin is the Luchais inside it. It's not a Kali without it. So closing it up before, oh, it looks like you have a Kali now, called the Orin. And that's when Bais Sheni, where they didn't have an Orin. Why didn't they have an Orin? Why didn't they have one? Because they didn't have Luchais. So make one without the Luchais. You can't. It's not an Orin without the Luchais. That is what the Kali is. It always reminds me of the story. My uncle was a Sofer. So there was a lady once came to him and said, she'd like to buy a mezuzah. She has the mezuzah ready, she says. She now needs a piece of paper that goes inside. In other words, she misunderstood what a mezuzah is. You could misunderstand what the Orin is and think the Orin is the Keli itself. It isn't. The Orin is the Luchais. And that is why never put the Kaporis on without the Luchais inside. And this is, the Orin is Meramis to a Tamil Chacham. And the Tamil Chacham, he is the Torah inside him. He's a Metzias of the Torah. He's not a Tamil Chacham with Torah. That is the Metzias of who he is. The Chavetz Chaim says in Parashat Hazino on the Pasuk, Loi Dover Reiku Mikem. It's not something, an emptiness in you. Ki Uchayenu Rechiyomenu. It is our lives. He says, imagine you have a house which is robbed. So what is it if it's robbed? It's an empty house. What happens if the house burns down? It's not an empty house. It doesn't exist. A person can have a wallet which is stolen or a wallet which is empty. Big difference between the two. He says, Torah is like Dover Reikum Mikem. If there's no Torah, it's not something which is empty. Pshat is, it doesn't exist. You don't exist without Torah. You're not an empty Keli. You're non-existent. And the Pasuk continues and says, Ki hu chayein rechimenu. That's our Matthias. Our life is Torah. Okay, there's a fascinating question, which all the Mefarshim ask, starting with the Rishonim, that the Pasuk tells us in this week's parasha, that you had the Kruvim, and the Kruvim were Opneim ish el ochiv. They faced each other. The Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Tes. The Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Tzadik Tes says there that there's a pasuk which Shlomo HaMelech made Kruvim. It says there Opneim el abayis. They were facing the walls. This is a stira. Answers the Gemara. Kan ba'isin ritzayin shalmokim. Kan ba'einayisin ritzayin shalmokim. When they're doing Ratzon Hashem, they're facing each other. When Klal Yisrael are not doing Ratzon Hashem, they turn away from each other. The Rashbam explains, what is the Pshat? That they were created in this week's parasha facing each other. B'nei Mishal Ochiv. But if Klal Yisrael didn't do Ratzon Hashem, a nes would happen, and they would turn away from each other. All the Rishonim, Achronim ask Akasha. The Gemara, Yuma Nundala, says there, that when the Goyim destroyed the Beis Mikdash, they came in, they saw that the Kruvim were embracing each other. When they were destroying the Beis Hamikdash, they weren't doing Ratzon Hashem. So why are the Kruvim facing each other? They should have been turned away from each other that moment. So it's a stira between that Gemara and Yuma and the Gemara and Bava Basra. So there's many different pshatim. The Bnei Yisachar says a very famous pshat, a very beautiful pshat. He says that the greatest ahava, love, people have for each other is at a time of separation. Imagine, Rachmon Islam, the time of the Holocaust, there were people who had to give over their children to Goyim, to hide them by Goyim and say, take care of them, and if they survive the war, please send them back to me. And many of those people never did not survive. Imagine the day, there's many stories like that, imagine the day they gave those children away. They knew they might never see them again. Imagine the ahava they felt at that moment. To a lower level, some of you may have experienced it. You're going off to camp, and your mothers take it the first time you're going away. Your mothers get very emotional about it. It's a time of separation. Some of them want to kiss you next to the bus, and that's about the biggest chet they could ever do. Make sure it's done in the car, not the bus. Be so embarrassed. So, once pshat, the mother's crying there. It's a separation. You feel the biggest ahava separation. What was the Churban HaBayis? It's the greatest separation of the Ribbono Shel Olam and Klal Yisrael. At that moment there's a separation, the Ribbono Shel Olam felt the greatest ahava possible for Klal Yisrael because they're separating. So at that moment, even though they weren't doing Rosh Hashem, at that moment the Kruvim were facing towards each other. Another pshat, a Chassid's pshat, is that the worst Yid is better than the best Goy. That's what they say. What's pshat in that? Because you say, who is the best Goy that ever existed? They'll tell you, Yashka. Who is the worst Jew? Yashka. So you see, the worst Jew is equal at least to the best Goy. So he says, the Klal Yisrael weren't doing Rosh Hashem at that moment. But then the Goyim came in. Ah, Goy comes in. Compared to the Goyim, we're always doing Rosh Hashem. And they started facing each other again. So the second pshat. A third pshat is the Ritva says, the Gemara continues in Yomim says, that when the Goyim came in, they took out the Yaron and placed it in the street. And they said, Yisrael halolu, Klal Yisrael, Shebruchseim brocha, their brocha is a brocha, Klosseim klol, and they give klolas. Yasku b'dvarim halolu, they were being mezalzel Klal Yisrael, degrading, belittling. Look what's going on in their holy place, a holiest place. And they have the Kruvim embracing each other. What an embarrassing sight. They don't have Aroyos there. And this was a chelik of the Churban HaBayis. Kol machmadei ziluha, that they were to, there was a pasuk in Eicha, that's telling us that part of the Churban is the belittling and degrading of Klal Yisrael. So that's why, even though they shouldn't have been facing each other then, but that was a chelik of the Churban in order to belittle Klal Yisrael. There is a Rashbam said that what's the reason that they turned away from each other? That was Alpines. Normally they faced each other. But when they weren't doing Rosh Hashem and Nes happened, they turned away. At the time of the Churban HaBayis, that means it's over now. There is no Beis HaMikdash. Nisim aren't going to happen anymore. So since the natural way is facing each other, now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, they go back to their natural state. That was a Nes they would turn away from each other. And that's only at a time when Nisim are taking place still. At the time there's a Beis HaMikdash. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it's like the machine's broken now. Goes back to the original state. And that is why, even though they weren't doing Rosh Hashem, they were facing each other. That's the fourth pshat. I always knew these four pshatim until today when I found out something which to me was a tremendous surprise. And that is, the Netziv asks the most obvious question. The Netziv in his Chumash, it's really Hagah in the Chumash, don't say directly in the Pirish. And he says, Psukim that the Gemara quotes, one is our pasuk that says, Delfnei Mishalochiv. The other one, Pnei Malabayis. Where is that? That's by Shlomo HaMelech. They were, first of all, two different Kruvim. They were the ones standing on the floor, 10 amas high. They're different Kruvim. So, obviously, all these Mephoreshim understood that those Kruvim were the same as these Kruvim. There were four Kruvim who either turned away from each other, faced each other, or turned away from each other. But he says, to say, that was a time when Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash. He was told exactly how to build it. He was told to make them facing away from each other. So the ones on the, these ones are Pnei Mishalochiv, and those ones were facing away from each other, Pnei Malabayis, what's the kasha? And even more so, when Shlomo HaMelech was building the Beis HaMikdash, they were doing Ratzon Shlomo HaMelech at that time. Why should there be the building of Beis HaMikdash then? It was unbelievable Yom Tov in Klal Yisrael then. So why is it? Why should it be at that time? Why should it be at that time that? Why should it be at that time that they should face away from each other when they were doing Rosh Hashem at that time? And again, you could look there, and he has shot him. I think different to the Gemara how he learns Pshat to answer this. Okay, Shabbos.